It's time for Let's Get Real with your host from Bob Richards & Associates, Bob Richards.
Hey, Bob, how you doing today?
Good afternoon, Michael. I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
You're looking fabulous. We want to welcome everybody to another exciting real estate adventure with Let's Get Real with the one, the only, the infamous, what was your name again? Oh, Bob Richards.
Boy, I guess the check must have cleared. Yes.
That was a close one. Wow, Bob. It's been an exciting past few weeks, hasn't it?
It has. It has.
Wow.
Lots been going on. Market's unbelievable again. And there's just a lot of things that are happening that's very positive right now.
Yeah, a lot of things that are happening.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know this ain't your first rodeo into the foray of real estate. I think there's a lot of folks who've heard about you. In fact, I told you the other day that I had a meeting with somebody. I mentioned your name and they go, oh my gosh, that Bob Richards guy, he's been around for ages. I've heard all kinds of great stuff about him.
I tell people that Brigham Young was my second client, and that kind of tells them how long I've been here.
That's how he got the big house, right?
Right, exactly, exactly.
With all the rooms.
With all the rooms.
That's cool. So I had one lady ask me, she goes, so Bob, he's been around a long time. Do you know what he did before he became a realtor? I said, I have no idea, but why don't we just ask him on his next podcast? So, hey, Bob, people want to know, what did you do before you became a realtor?
You know, Michael, I get that question asked every once in a while. I had the privilege of being in the hospitality industry up in Salt Lake where I grew up. I was going to school at Westminster College. My degree was in marketing and worked for a couple of the hotels, Hotel Utah when it was open, and then was the assistant manager at the inn at Temple Square, just right across from Temple Square by Symphony Hall. This was quite a few years ago, as you can imagine.
Wow.
Thoroughly enjoyed that. And the inn was a 90-room upscale guest house type of room, kind of like the Bentley House in Washington, D.C. Tends to bring a little bit higher clientele, some dignitaries. We had queens and princesses and princes, and we had Neil Diamond. We had folks from Journey. We had Buddy Rich, both Bushes, junior and senior. One of my most ideal clients that I had a chance to work with and host was Ronald Reagan. And wow. I had a 15-minute just interview off the cuff in the lobby while he was waiting to go across the street to do a keynote speech. And that will be something I will never forget.
Wow.
It was really quite amazing. But one of the things I learned in the hospitality industry is it's all about the customer. It's all about the guest. That's what's first and foremost. And so taking that and then now applying that into a real estate arena has helped immensely because I've been able to understand and see what the difference is in providing service and simply not, or a motel service rather than, or a Motel 6 service rather than a five-star.
You know, I think you touched on a good point there about how your hospitality experience transcended that boundary into real estate and probably encompasses some specific benefits and unique selling points for you in your business that probably no other realtor can match simply because of your experience in the hospitality industry.
Very true.
And where you learned it's all about the customer service.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about, oh yeah, I'll get right on that and I get another call. I'll see you later. Bye. You
know, right.
I'm imagining if you're dealing with somebody like Ronald Reagan, President of the United States, you want to make sure that you're going to provide him good, attentive service. You're going to listen and respond accordingly.
Absolutely.
I'm just guessing that you apply that same type of service level to all of your real estate clients and not just, you know, the President of the United States or Buddy Rich or anybody like that.
Doesn't matter where they're from and their background or their history or their income or anything of that nature. I've kind of labeled a one-up experience. So whatever the average is or people think is about right of what agents do, I always find what's the one-up and then provide that. So it's delivering additional guidance, direction, counsel, information, whatever it might be, rather than just the basics.
Yeah. So how was Uncle Ronnie? Was he a cool dude?
It was awesome. I still get chills and goosebumps when I think of that. That was a game changer.
That's cool. Did he ask about me at all? Did he say, hey, how's Michael?
He did ask about that. And I said, you know what? He's still with Three Dog Night and doing very, very well. And thank you for asking.
That's funny. So what kind of education background do you have, Bob, that got you into this whole thing?
With my marketing degree from Westminster College, taking that into a creative form in the real estate arena based on advertising and marketing and promotion and target markets and different ways in which to promote oneself and to promote others' properties, those type of things is really what opened up the gates for me and allowed me the ability to not be reactive, but be more proactive for people. So it's not waiting for the phone to ring or leaning up against the water cooler, but actually going out and shaking the bushes.
So when did you both decide to start your career in real estate and then actually do it?
Yeah, it was 1992. I think electricity was still around. I know color TV was... No, I'm just kidding. 1992, I moved to St. George. I had not been in the real estate industry until I moved to St. George. Just brand new rookie, and found myself at a college housing apartment complex not too far away from where we're at. Was able to spend 3 months during the summer quarter and had to be out before fall semester. So I had a little bit of motivation, obviously, to be able to kind of learn the area and find another place to live, because I knew in 3 months I had to go. And didn't know a soul here. That was another thing that was really a surprise for me, is not knowing a lot of people, and you're in sales, you kind of have to maybe know a few people. And that took a little time, but with rolling up my sleeves and going to work as fast as I can and as long as I can, it gave me the opportunity to meet some wonderful people, thousands of people that I've enjoyed the opportunity to work with in the last few decades.
Did you join any professional networking groups in order to meet people, like a Chamber of Commerce, BNI, or anything like that?
Yeah, Chamber of Commerce at the beginning. There was a significant amount of validity and openness with them, and they were doing a good job. And so I did work with them, but the others were just my own self-creative pieces or marketing or mail outs or letters or drop bys. Those are just things that I created myself, trying to get my own name.
So do you remember your very first transaction that you closed?
I do.
Tell me about that.
So this was a vacant lot that was out in Little Valley. Now, Little Valley is absolutely insanely huge now. Okay, 1992, these were friends of my wife, actually cousins to my wife, a Little Valley lot, 1 acre. We were thrilled to get $18,500 for a 1 acre lot. Yeah. And that was my first sale. So it wasn't a great commission. I was able to go grocery shopping, but that's okay. It's not about the commission. We worked so hard with the sellers, my wife's family, as well as with the buyers, and kind of the rest is history. But yeah, when I tell $18,500 for a 1 acre lot in Little Valley, people are like, no way. And I was like, yeah, way.
What do you think that'd be going for nowadays? $18 million?
No kidding. Probably about $400,000 or $500,000 now.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's that kind of a jump just for the dirt. Just for the dirt. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, it's crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
So when you started out as a new guy in the business, how did you separate yourself from the rest of the competition? What was your USP or your unique selling point? And then what benefits did that USP provide to your customers?
Great question, Michael. Thanks for asking. The 30 years, my slogan has always been consider it done. And I learned that again in the hotel industry. That's been my motto ever since, and what I live up to. And so as I look through my career in the past and say, okay, what could I have done better or differently? What I try to do is just separate myself from the competition and let people know, you know what I'm going to tell you? I'm actually going to do it. It's not lip service. It's not that the sign goes in the yard, you never hear from me again. I am going to do what I say. And people have appreciated that over the years. You're a man of your word is comments that I have and a bunch of other things that I just really appreciate it. It helps me feel like, hey, I've done something right. And if it has improved that person's life in some way, shape or form, either financially, economically, conveniently, whatever it might be, then I feel like, you know what? I did as they had asked. I performed well. I worked hard and did what they wanted. Plus one.
Wow. What a unique selling point to actually do what you say you're going to do.
Go figure, right?
Oh, my. You mean that actually works?
It actually works.
Oh, my.
It actually works.
It's not some sales ploy. You actually do what you say you're going to do?
Yes, that's correct. Yes, sir.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. Something so simple as actually doing what you say you're
exactly
going to do.
Exactly right.
I will do the job. And
yes,
then you actually do it.
And actually do it.
So I know that you've experienced a lot of market shifts over the years, and that's a hard word for me to say. I'm not I'm not stutter.
Yeah. Stutter.
I can't say the word study, but I can say market shifts.
Yeah. Yes,
shifts. To be careful
right.
with that one. So over the past few years, what have you learned from all these different shifts in the market?
This is what I love. I, you know, let's get real, Michael. After 30 years, you got to think that maybe I've seen a few things that have happened in a real estate market, and I have. And that's what I try to bring to the table with clientele now and last number of years and even decades, because there's always something that's different that's happening on a Tuesday, on a Friday, on a Saturday. It's just an evolving market constantly that is changing. And so we've gone through where the market absolutely tanked back in 2006, 7, and 8. Number of people were losing their homes, people moving out at oh dark 30 in the morning, not wanting to be embarrassed that they were having their home foreclosed on,
wow.
Short sales. It was ugly. It was ugly. And so to see, okay, will that happen again? No. There's things that have changed in the market. There's things that have changed with mortgages. A lot of changes to help prohibit that from happening again. Then you look at interest rates and say, oh my gosh, the volatility of what we had back in 2020 at 2.something%, and now we're in the high sixes or low sevens just a few years later. Whoa, what does that mean? How does that affect my purchasing power? What does that do for me? What should I be scared of? What should I be excited for with an interest rate right now of where it is versus when it was? We won't see the 2s and the 3% again for a long time, if ever. And so how to deal with that and work with buyers and sellers and say, okay, that ship may have sailed, but let's talk about what it means for you now. Let's still find the benefits of what your goals are and accomplish those goals. They're still out there. You still want to achieve them. We can do it. Let me show you how. So based upon 1998 or 2004 or 2015 or the crash of 2007 and 8, I'm able to bring some things to the table that aren't just guesses, but very informative and often quite accurate.
So if 2007, 2008 was the ugliest market, what do you think about today's market? Is this the weirdest market? I mean, it seems like it's just a wild roller coaster.
Yeah.
Day to day, things are, I mean, I look at the news and read stuff that's going on. It's like, I've never seen this before. It's totally strange.
It is.
It's hard to predict what's going on.
Oh, it is. And so many people are bombarded by TV and social media and talk shows and other things that are going on. I tell people, you know what? Before we meet, I ask of you to turn off your news shows. Don't listen to talk radio news shows. Turn off your TV unless you want to watch some other show. That's good. Even the news, be limited on what you even watch with local news. Let's talk in a week. Let's see how you feel. And every time that I've met with people after that challenge, they're like, oh, my goodness sakes, my head's so clear. I feel so much better about what I'm doing because I'm not hearing noise and noise and noise.
Yeah.
And opinions of others that are just opinions. They have no validity. They're guesses. They're for ratings, they're for higher dollars of commercials and that kind of a thing, and maybe some notoriety for a few minutes on a national TV station or cable TV. That's not what we need to hear. We need to hear what's current, true, and honest.
So, you know, one of the things I heard about you that you just kind of touched on now was the fact that, and I think the more realtors should do this, because we really want all the professional realtors to be successful. And if you're a new realtor, just kind of tuning in, or you'd like some tips here on what has made Bob successful over the years, I think one of the things I've heard about you, and that I've noticed in working with you all this time, is the fact that even though the end goal may be a sale, it's not really the goal. It's more like you're more of a consultant than for lack of a better term, wham, bam, thank you, man.
Right.
Sign the deal, give me the money and off we go.
Adios. Uh-huh.
I think the fact that you really take the time to consult with your clients and to figure out what their needs are, where they are financially, and then find the best property for them, or even if they're listing, to do the same thing, mm-hmm. but in reverse. I think that's a success tool that you've been able to develop over the years. I think that really helps set you apart in the marketplace. Your experience all these years in doing this kind of stuff, and it's kind of like, okay, what can we do to help you out today?
Yeah, it's not about the revolving door. It's about the relationship. And that relationship really begins after the sale, whether they've purchased or sold. That's when I step in and say, okay, let's continue this a little bit further and expand that goal. Now, what's next? And when will that be? What does it look like? How can I help?
Yeah, that's cool. So I know that you have developed a relationship with a seller that has a new property that they would like to showcase to the market. And I think you can tell us about a little bit about it right now. And I think we got some photos coming up.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
People can check it out. What do we have here?
Thanks, Michael. This is a home up in the Green Springs area, Green Springs Golf Course over in Washington City, just up Green Springs Drive. It's a subdivision called Silverstone. This is a beautiful rambler, no basement, just easy, flat interior, and not having to navigate stairs. And so if you have a bad hip or a bad knee, this house is for you. We just priced this now that's dropped significantly for a fast sale. It's now at $789,900, and this is a beautiful custom home. It doesn't have anything that is average or normal. Everything is all upscale. Three bedrooms plus an office and three bathrooms. Huge, great room with the kitchen and dining area that's all combined and open one to the other. Nice gas fireplace in the corner, gorgeous landscape yard. Just an absolutely phenomenal home. It's about 2 minutes really five maybe to anything. Costco, Freeway, Home Depot, Walmart. It's just all right there. Theaters are just a few minutes away, restaurants, all sorts of stuff. So convenience. Also certainly goes with location. Yeah. So that's the information. It's on Wiltshire Drive in Washington, and I'd love to have people take a look at it. It is stunning, absolutely gorgeous.
If somebody wants to take a look, how do they contact you?
Yeah, easy, 435-703-UTAH. It's 435-703-8824. Text or a call. We can certainly make arrangements to have them take a look.
Well, that sounds pretty cool. I looked at it. It's a beautiful house. I like the fact that it's not normal, which sounds like the perfect home for me.
You're above average. You have upgrades. So it's a good match. It's a good match.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't let my wife. She'll agree too quickly.
She's not normal.
So, Bob, as a prospective buyer or seller, I want to know, like as a buyer, what can you do to save me some time and save me some money? Because those are two benefits that, as a home buyer, I'm going to be looking for.
Absolutely. And this is so critical. With people being so busy with work, activities, school, kids, band, orchestra, theater, whatever it might be, saving that time and that money is extremely important. What I bring to the table to a buyer is saying, hey, before we get started, let's outline exactly what the process is so that you know from step to step to step, almost like a flow chart, where we are at today in our initial meeting and where we're going to be at in X amount of days or weeks prior to closing, and then what day you get the keys and what day you move in. And explain the process in between so that there's no surprises, and there's also specific instructions of things that they need to do prior to acquiring the home, if there's a loan involved, who we need to meet with to get that loan secured and get pre-approved for, and what documents are necessary for that, and if there's a DNA sample that needs to be given. What about prices of homes? Where should I be looking? Are there better buys over one another? Is new construction better than resale? Oh, that's a biggie.
Yeah, that's
something we get asked quite a bit. And then also asking the people specifically, what does your lifestyle look like? What's on your wants and needs list? Are there specific things that you like to be close by? Golf courses, hiking, mountains, biking. Oh, we've got so much around here, so much of outdoors in southern Utah that's just gorgeous. And so you ask people, what is it that you like? What does your dream home look like? And who's around you? Who are you friends with? And then find that match. And that's exactly what we go do, is even if it's not for sale, we'll go out and knock doors and ask people if they want to sell, because it meets the criteria of the people that we work with.
So when you're representing me or like any buyer, mm-hmm. isn't part of your job to actually try to negotiate the best price that you can on the home that I want to buy, either the best price or the best terms, you know, help me save some money and get more bang for my buck, so to speak. Isn't that yeah. your job when you're representing the buyer?
Absolutely. And that's another thing that I bring to the table, is experience with knowing, okay, based upon recent sales in that immediate neighborhood, based upon current market conditions, are we stagnant or stale? Are we going up? Are we going down? What would be a fair market value to offer for that house? I don't go to Zillow. I'm sorry, you know, I plead guilty that I do not use Zillow to find values, because it's just not, doesn't make sense. They're just inaccurate, and we won't go into that. But what I can do is let people know, hey, this is how long it's been on the market. Here's how many price reductions it's had. I've talked to the agent. The seller is selling because. So we have a little bit of ammunition, a little bit of background, a little bit of knowledge, and then position our price accordingly. And closing and occupancy. If the seller says, I'll come down more on the price if you give me 2 weeks after closing to move in. Okay, well, we can do that. And so there's just things that you want to prep for before the actual contract goes into writing and is signed and initialed, because by that time you've kind of lost your negotiating power. So it's all about the preparation time. The upfront time is what's very critical.
So let's say you're representing me as a seller. Mm-hmm. I'm listing my house with you. Well, I want to make as much money as I can. So what is the process that you do when working with the seller? How can you make sure that I'm going to get the most money out of my house that I can? Because the other guy's going to try to lowball me.
Right.
And so you're in a precarious position. You have to know how to play both ends of the game.
You do.
So if you're representing me as a seller, I want to make as much money as I can. That your job, and how do you do that?
It is, and it's really two different hats, Michael, working for a buyer yeah. and working for a seller. It's real estate, but it's an entirely different mindset in working with a buyer versus seller. And so with the seller, what we want to do is that we want to promote the home to a demographic and target market that is befitting of that price range. You don't want to go to a first-time home buyer and say, hey, look at this $800,000 home. They'll be like, yeah, okay, we can't buy it. Oh, that's right. We want to make sure that we're focusing on people that actually can buy, and in that price range and in that category and that neighborhood, whatever it is that makes them tick, that would make the most sense for them, that's what we want to work on. So sellers, we're saying, okay, here's what we need to do to make it prepped for showing. We need less of you, more house, less furniture, more empty. Those kind of things that we do staging consulting. We do energy consulting. We look at utility history. We look at property taxes. We look at a number of different things that are part of that equation before going to market, rather than, again, just putting up a sign and putting up a couple of pictures and saying for sale. That these yeah. days, with information being so ready within a couple of clicks, you've got to have a lot more than just it's listed or just listed.
Yeah. Well, Bob, I want to thank you for joining us here today.
Thanks, Michael.
I mean, it's your show. Why wouldn't you want to join us? I'm just kind of
nice.
Here.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
You know, one of the things that I've always looked for in dealing with a I said the word dealing, should say working with a realtor, is I look for somebody who can not only save me some time, save me money, or help me make more money. I want somebody who's going to make my life easier and save me some stress, because I don't want to worry about this. I don't want to deal with any of these things. If I hire you or any realtor, I do want to make it, I do want to make money or I want to save money, but I, you know, just make it easy for me. Take the stress off me. That's what I'm paying you for. You go do that. I've got a game to go watch.
Yeah.
That's kind of it.
And I say, you know what? Give it to me. I'll put it on my shoulders and let's go. Let's make this happen. And so that way you can continue on with your life and your routine and your schedules and your family and lifestyle. And then I can bring that to the table when we haven't. Say, you know what, Michael? I found it.
Perfect. Well, Bob, do you have any parting words of wisdom before we head on out today?
Experience matters, folks. It really does. I'm not trying to put down the rookies, but in today's market, the way it is and how complicated it's become, you want to have somebody that's got a little bit of seasoning, not like salt and pepper, but has a little bit of experience under their belt and knows what the market can do or has done or is going to do. It'll make all the world, all the difference in the world for you as a seller or a buyer. Love to get a chance to talk.
Cool. Once again, why don't you give us your phone number and we can get a hold of you.
435-703-UTAH, 435-703-8824.
Thanks. Hey, we'll see you guys again next time with another episode of Let's Get Real with Bob Richards.
This has been Let's Get Real with Bob Richards from Bob Richards & Associates. For more information, buyutah.com. We invite you to return again for another edition of Let's Get Real with Bob Richards from Bob Richards & Associates.